Yeah, so this is the last message in Acts that we'll give for some time. I think we'll come back to it maybe to finish up a few things later in next year. But here, coming into the Christmas season, we're going to be doing an Advent series. And it's been a long journey through Acts, so maybe some of you are just like, oh, okay, let's move on. It's been good. It's been good. We're in Acts chapter 20. If you've got your Bibles, you can go there, and we will turn there and read just a short passage of scripture here. The first three verses is where I want to be. Just a theme that jumped out at me once again this week that really I felt compelled I need to speak on this theme. And so right here in this passage, I'm just going to read it to set it up. We're not going to go through a ton of the story here, but there's something that Paul does, that he does consistently, that he does regularly, that it shows up time and time again in the book of Acts. And I've been reading it, and this time it just jumped out. I just noticed it. So Acts chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. And I think this is interesting the way it starts. It says, when the uproar had ended, because in chapter 19, we didn't actually cover this, but in chapter 19, there was this uproar, there was this chaos, there was this stressful situation where the people of the city were turning against Paul, and there were all sorts of disruptions. But in the midst of that stressful time, in the midst of that maybe discouraging time, this is what Paul does. Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. And he traveled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to the people. And finally, he arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. And there's multiple passages of scripture throughout the book of Acts, where Paul is traveling from city to city to city with the various traveling companions. And it says something like, and he moved through Macedonia, and he built up the disciples there, and he encouraged them in the way of the Lord, or he encouraged them in their faith. He built them up. He encouraged them. He exhorted them. Paul is doing this constantly. It's one of the things that he is committed to. And it jumped out at me because I think it's so important. I think it's so important in our world to be reminded of the importance of encouragement. I love that what Jason mentioned this morning, that we would take out our cards and that we would encourage somebody. Maybe one of the kids' workers downstairs, maybe a greeter, maybe somebody who serves coffee, maybe somebody who's not even sitting here in this room. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood, that you would take the time to encourage people, because it's a spiritual discipline. It's something that we are called to do again and again and again. And I love the wisdom of my wife this week. My kids are just getting through basketball tryouts. And for those of you who know us, we work and we work and we work on this, and our kids have goals, and they work really hard to achieve those goals in basketball and in athletics. And so my son Josiah is playing for the varsity team this year, and it was a big jump up, and he had set a goal. And my daughter, who's only a freshman, was trying to make the varsity team this year. And both of them had good results, but not what they were hoping for results. And so my son in particular was really discouraged, and my daughter as well. And so as we were going through all this, my wife just said to me, I think she could see this look in my eye, because naturally my tendency is to say, you see, I told you. See, you left some on the table this year, right? I mean, there was more that you could have done, but all those times I told you, work harder, work harder, work harder, and you wanted to go play with your friends, and you wanted to hang out with your friends on the Xbox, and when you do all these lazy activities when you could have been working hard, you know, that's immediately where I wanted to go. Because that's what we do as dads, right? I mean, we've got to constantly keep our kids accountable and make sure that they're achieving their goals and working hard and learning work ethic and all those kinds of things. And so, you know, I just always play bad cop. And in that moment, Deb just kind of looked at me and she said, he really needs you to be on his side right now. She really needs you to be on her side right now. And so I took that to heart and tried to change the tone of what I said to the best of my ability, you know, biting my tongue. Hey, you know what? You worked really hard. Just keep at it. You know, things are going to open up for you. And trying to keep that positive tone, because I know if I would just add it on to the disappointment and the discouragement, it would have had a negative effect. You know, but that's just the world we live in. We live in a chronically negative world. We automatically go there. A lot of times people who are alongside of us, whether it's a spouse or friends or parents or roommates or whatever, their natural tendency is to want to keep us accountable and not to necessarily encourage us, but to correct us and to criticize us. And, you know, oftentimes we just get so much of that, it's just a burden. It becomes overwhelming and it doesn't encourage, it doesn't help us, it doesn't promote us. It only contributes to the negative cycle. And so, you know, it is a chronically negative world. And from the time you grow up, it's just kind of the environment that you live in. You know, when you were a kid growing up in school and you didn't get picked for the team, or you didn't make it to the advanced class, or your appearance wasn't quite right. I know one of the scarring moments for me in school was when an upperclassman was sitting behind me. And anybody ever use the Aquanet? So at our house, Aquanet hairspray was what we use. And it's that stuff that just sprays for like 30 minutes. You could just spray it, you know, it just keeps coming out. So I would spray my hair with Aquanet, and I would only get the front because I was only 14, 15 years old. I didn't know how it worked, you know. You just make it look good in the front, right? And so an older classman was sitting behind me, and he's laughing at me because my hair was all, you know, poofed and fresh from the shampoo in the back and slick and smooth in the front from the hairspray. And he was like, "Did you only hairspray the front half of your head?" And it was laughing at me. Everybody turns and looks and is laughing at me. And to this day, I make sure the product is all the way through my hair because of that moment, right? But we're just, man, it's so discouraging. And kids these days, I think, have the added discouragement of the hard data, you know, of social media, you know, and how many likes you get or don't get. You know, it confirms whether or not you're a loser, right? And you need to deal with all these stressors. And even as adults, you know, it continues. You know, we don't get the project that we want, or another person's promoted over us, or we get criticized and nitpicked. And we have the same kind of social media thing going on, usually not Instagram or Snapchat, it's Facebook because we're old. And that's the social media of choice for old people. But, you know, it's just tough. We live in a world where there's a lot of negativity. And I think probably more than anything else, it's even our own negativity, right? Our own self-talk and self-doubt. And we just can be our biggest critics. But here's what I know from Scripture. And I think that Paul, the reason Paul was such an encourager is because Jesus was an encourager. And Jesus called us to encouragement. And we are disciples of Jesus. And so our goal is really to emulate him and to walk the life that he walked and to speak the way that he spoke. And so we all need confidence. We all need encouragement. And we all know somebody who needs confidence and needs encouragement. And we need to draw the best out of one another. And this is what Jesus did. I love the story, the little interaction between Jesus and the apostle Peter. Peter was, for all extensive purposes, a work in progress, and he had a lot of issues. You know, he put his foot in his mouth all the time. He was impromptu. He oftentimes got ahead of himself, got ahead of Jesus, and dealt with, you know, the consequences of that. But what I love about Jesus is Jesus has this interaction with him, and he says Peter's name. He says, "You are Peter," and Peter's name means pebble. You know, it means little tiny pebble, right? And he says, "You are Peter, but Peter the pebble, you're going to be a rock." And he doesn't call out, you know, who he is in that moment. He calls out who he can be. And he promotes him and he speaks life into who he can be. He calls Peter up. And even in the midst of Peter's failure, there is ultimately a day when God will use him in powerful ways. And I believe through the encouragement of Jesus, through that spiritual word of hope and expectation, he really calls him up to something. And later on, I believe it gave courage to Peter to do the things that God had called him to do. And so, you know, I don't know if you walked into church today dealing with, you know, financial problems, your health is deteriorating, there's conflict in your marriage, there's trouble at work. Maybe you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and you're just like, "I don't know what to do next." But I want you to know that God desires to encourage you. Jesus is an encourager. The Spirit of Jesus resides inside of you, and he wants to bring you to life. He wants to encourage you. He wants to speak to those things in your life that are troubling you. And he wants you to walk out of this place with a new spring in your step, a new confidence in what he has made you capable of doing. And so I just want to speak to that. I want to speak to those things that may be weighing you down today and just ask that the Spirit of God would lift you up and would encourage you and fire you up for the things that you are called to do this week. So Jesus wants you to be encouraged. You may be hurting, you may be discouraged, but he wants to give you courage. I love what it says in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus gives us this not so precious promise. In this world, you will have trouble. But this is the precious part. But take courage. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And so here's four things. Four of the most encouraging things that you can do for others and for yourself to be encouraged and to be filled with life. The first thing is just simply this. Encourage others daily. Encourage others daily. Like I said, live in a chronically discouraging world, a chronically negative world. And those voices of discouragement are so real and they're so prevalent. And it's not just the voices outside. It oftentimes is those voices inside, right? It's the negative self-talk that we engage in. And we've got to overcome that. We've got to flip the script. I coach junior high basketball. And junior high basketball, junior high is just brutal, okay, beyond the basketball. Junior high is brutal. These kids are so competitive with one another. And so the way that they deal with that is they're constantly tearing other people down so that they can feel better about themselves, right? You play defense like a zombie was a comment I heard this last week. I don't even know what that means, right? And you're slow, you're fat, you're no good, I can beat you. You know, there's constant, you know, just threats and things going out. And so I've made it this new rule that whenever I hear something discouraging, we run lines. That's what we do. And we run six lines. And there's a reason for that, because there's a study that's come out. I actually told my kids this the other day. There's a study that's come out through the Harvard Business Review. It's also associated with John Gottman. For those of you who know John Gottman, he's the professor, doctor at the UW who analyzes marriages. He's a marriage relationship expert. And he has this condo that they've set up overlooking Lake Washington, a beautiful place. They invite couples to stay there for free so that they can analyze them. You know, here's the catch. They have cameras and they have audio recordings everywhere, you know, in the house. And they know this, of course. They sign up for this. But they just study the dynamic of the relationship. And so within 99%, he can predict 7 years from the time that couples come to that place whether or not they'll get divorced or not. And he does this through a number of different metrics, but one of those metrics is a research that he has done that shows that you need about six positive, encouraging statements or words compared to just one criticism. All right, so that's the ratio that we're looking for, 6 to 1. And so whenever one of my kids in junior high speaks out a discouraging, disparaging word to one of his teammates, we run six lines, right? Because we know that you need 6 to 1. And I've said to the guys time and time again, we're going to be an encouraging team. We're going to be a team that lifts each other up. We're going to change the standard of your junior high competitive spirit, and we're going to speak life into each other and not death. It's a Christian school, guys. Come on. You know, it's the words that I'm using. So, but 6 to 1, which is a lot when you think about it. I mean, I know for me, as I'm analyzing my communication with my kids, with my coworkers, with my wife, am I at that 6 to 1 ratio? Probably not. Probably needs some work there, especially with my teenagers. You need some work there, you know, because there's constant criticism that they are exposed to. They need a place where they are, where life is spoken to them. They need that desperately. And so we need to encourage one another daily. This is what we're called to. If we want to, you know, fight that ratio of 6 to 1, we need to encourage each other constantly. I love this passage in Hebrews 3:13. We actually don't know if Paul wrote this or not. Hebrews is one of those mystery books, but maybe he did. And it says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Encouragement is a constant theme throughout the scriptures. And I always say this, this is a good rule to live by. If you think something, just say it. Text it out. Just speak. If you think something positive, I should say, then speak it out. Say it. I don't know why we hold back on things, but man, I find myself just like holding back. I don't even know why. You know, if my wife looks amazing, you look amazing today. You know, I need to say it, right? Your hair looks great today, you know, and have you been, Jason, your hair follicles look wonderful today. Are you? It's beautiful hair this morning. And, just speak it, right? I mean, just say it. And, I don't know why we hold back, but we just want to be, positive. We want to always, those words that come to our minds, those thoughts that come to our minds that are positive, you know, we need to speak those things. And unlike our junior high friends, have the filters, right, to speak the positive things and to leave out some of the negative and competitive things. I know we think those negative things, right, but we want to learn how to speak the positive things and bring life to one another. There's this, we have a dog, and you know that by now, but most of you do anyways, but we take the dog for a walk to a park down the street from our house, and it's kind of a dog park, and you can go down there and throw the ball and whatnot, and there's this dog dish that you could just open up the spigot and water sprays into the dog dish, but there's several holes in the bottom of it, and the reason for that is you don't want that water to stagnate, and some dog with saliva is drinking out of it. You don't want your dog to drink out of that disease, and so it has these holes in the bottom, and it just empties every time, and so you fill it up, and it's emptying, you know, and your dog drinks, and then you got to fill it up again, and it's this metaphor for life. I mean, our courage is constantly eroding, right? It's constantly being drained. And we need to fill one another up with encouragement. And that's just, man, that's the nature of life. You need it daily. You need it constantly. We need to make a discipline out of encouraging one another, especially those very close to us. And so if someone needs encouragement, I'm going to give it. If I think of something positive about you, I'm going to say it. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to let you know. Secondly, we encourage others spiritually. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, good job on the project. Or, hey, the house looks nice today. Or, I love your haircut. Right? It's another thing to add a spiritual component to the things that we are saying to one another. I love this passage from Romans 1, 10 through 12. This is the New Living Translation. It gives some added elements to it, but it says, one of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you, and this was Paul's standard, this is what he would do. I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. And when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I don't know about you, but I want people around me who encourage my faith. I want people around me who cause me to come to life. I was so grateful to be able to spend some time with our Kenyan friends. They are so good at this. I can't even tell you. I love hanging around them. First of all, George and Osborne, they always call me Pastor. And it makes me feel so great. Oh, Pastor. That was such a wonderful word today. We were in our staff meeting. And our staff meeting is a time for some criticism. And we were talking about the sermon that I had given a few weeks ago. And, you know, I open it up for this. This is an important part. Hey, guys, let's talk about the sermon. Let's talk about what worked, what didn't work. And you know, we're going through all these criticisms. I could tell that George, in particular, was really troubled by this. And at the same time, just curious, you know, why are you guys, like, ripping the sermon right now? And so he speaks up after everyone had spoke, and he says, Pastor, I want you to know that was a wonderful sermon. The Lord spoke to every person in that room, right? And it's just, I could tell that for him, it was like, where's the encouragement, people? Let's speak encouragement. Let's speak life into this man. And, you know, it's constantly that way. You know, put my arm around me and your wife is the most beautiful woman in the world, you know? And I'm like, I'm not sure how to take that right now, but all right. You know, but it's so encouraging, so life-giving, a love being with those guys, and especially spiritually speaking, you know, they're constantly speaking life into my faith, you know? I mean, you have a such a gift of leadership, you know, or your church is so filled with generosity, and they're speaking these things out, and it's such a blessing to me. And, you know, it's such a little tweak on the things that we speak over one another. You know, I mean, we could say something positive, something encouraging to a person, but if we could just tailor it to a spiritual aspect when it's appropriate, I think it's something that could be really powerful. I'm reading this book by a pastor from Hillsong, New York. His name's Carl Lentz. He's kind of a popular pastor these days, but he tells this story that is so awesome. I wanted to share it with you. He had moved to LA. He was trying to save some money to be able to go to the Hillsong College, and he needed to raise $2,500. And so he was working, living in a place for cheap, and working at the Gucci store. And he said he was the doorman at the Gucci store. And he was constantly, you know, greeting people as they came in, and he had a certain phrase that he had to say. Well, he said he was really working through some issues of God was challenging him to be more of an evangelist, more of an extrovert, and he was really shy. And so God had told him, hey, I want you just to take a risk today. I want you to put yourself out there today. And he had sensed that God was challenging him to do this. And so he had in mind, okay, I'm going to pick one person, and I'm just going to look at them, and I'm going to say, hey, you're awesome. God really wants to use you. And that was it, you know. And so he was all psyching himself up. He's standing by the door. And he said, this guy comes in, he said, he was a cross between a rapper and Danny DeVito, if you could put those two things together. You know, this old middle-aged guy who had this beautiful woman on his arm. And as he's walking in the door, he just senses, this is the guy you need to talk to. And so he's all nervous and dealing with that. And this guy's shopping in the Gucci store. And as he comes out, he just kind of blurts it out. He says, hey, you're awesome. God really wants to use you. And the guy just stops and looks at him, and he says, what did you say? And he said, God says you're awesome, and he really wants to use you. Maybe less confident the second time. And the guy's like, you don't even know me. And he just takes off. And he was just dejected. He was just like, oh, what in the world am I doing? You know, finally the guy comes back like an hour later, and he's coming at him. He's like, oh great, he's going to tell my supervisors I'm toast, you know, I'm fired from Gucci. And the guy just comes up to him, and he's kind of abrupt, and he's like, why would you say that to me? And he's like, well, and he explains the whole situation to him. You know, I just really felt challenged by God to say something positive to somebody and bring up some conversation. And the guy says, you know, you're really interesting. Why don't you meet me in my office? And long story short, cuts him a check for $2,500, which he needed to go to Hillsong and study at the college. And it was such a funny example of, I don't necessarily think you should take his advice here, but encouraging people spiritually, because I think there's something that needs to be intentional about it. And I'll just add that. There's something that needs to be intentional about it. We don't naturally, you know, just go on encouraging one another spiritually. We have to think about it, strategize. How can I bless so-and-so today? How can I bring life? How can I encourage their faith? That's one thing to encourage somebody. It's another thing to encourage someone's faith and speak life to that aspect of their lives. And so let me encourage you to do that. And thirdly, I'd add this, encourage others specifically. Specifically. In addition to encouraging them spiritually, it's an added bonus to encourage them specifically. For instance, instead of saying, hey, I really enjoyed that meal that you made, you could say, hey, you really put a lot of effort into that, and the spices were just so right, right? Just add some details to what you're saying. And the reason I say this is because when you give somebody a specific encouragement, they know that you've thought about it, and they know that it's genuine and authentic. It comes from an authentic place, because you're not just, you know, we've all been conditioned to say our pleases and our thank yous from the time that we're little, right? Mom always said, say please, say thank you, right? So oftentimes somebody will do something for us and it's just, oh, thank you, I appreciate that, or, you know, whatever. I mean, the niceties of life. But man, it's another step to say something specific and to be detailed and say, hey, this is what I so appreciated about what you did for me, or about this gift that you have, or whatever it might be. One of the practices that we get into here at the church is we always try to think in our staff meetings of who we could say thank you to. And we write them a note or maybe send them an email. One of the things Corbett does that I so appreciate is a lot of times in our men's prayer time on Wednesday mornings, he just asks God, hey, God, bring somebody to my mind. And right then and there, he texts them some encouraging word when they pop into his mind. But in our thank you notes, I always try to say something detailed, something specific, something that would help them know, hey, I've really noticed this in you. And it's genuine. It's heartfelt. It is. I've thought about this. And it just adds the authenticity of what we are saying. You know, it's one thing to be conditioned to encourage people. It's another thing to do it out of an authentic, heartfelt place. And that's what we need to be about. I believe this is the way the Apostle Paul was. In Philippians chapter 1, he adds some detail to a thank you that he's giving to this congregation in Philippi. In Philippians 1 verse 3, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And he adds a bunch more details as the text goes on, but I love that he added this because. Here's why I'm thankful for you. Here's why I find joy every time I think about you. It's because of this. And he adds some specificity to it, and it's heartfelt. It's authentic. It comes from this place where Paul has thought about what he can say to them. He's thought about who they are, and he's calling it out, and he's bringing it to life. So encourage one another specifically. And then lastly, I just want to say this. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. There's this great passage of scripture that really drives this home from David. It's in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, and it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And as he's writing this, he's dealing with a particularly troubling circumstance where people are literally trying to kill him. They're out for blood. They're out for his life. He's stressed out. And it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He thought about God's faithfulness. He thought about the fact that God was with him and would never forsake him or leave him. And he caused himself to take heart and to find faith in the situation. And again, as negative as the world can be, our inner dialogue oftentimes can be the greatest drag on our confidence and our inner thoughts and the words that we speak over ourselves. We can criticize, we can discourage, we can doubt ourselves. And so often we just need to break that cycle. We need to flip that script and we need to learn to preach to ourselves. Even as I'm preaching to you today, we need to learn to preach to ourselves encouragement and life in the midst of self-doubt and discouragement and criticism. So preach to yourself. Preach to yourself these words that bring life, these words that bring a robust faith. Speak to yourself. Say, I have the faith for this. My God is with me. My God is for me. God has given me everything that I need to do what it is that I'm called to do. I can do this. I'm a fighter. God's spirit resides inside of me. I'm more than a conqueror. Speak life. Speak encouragement into your situation. I was reading my journal a couple of weeks ago, and I was encouraged by my faith 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I noticed this difference between my most recent entries, in which I was a little bit more disparaging, a little bit more filled with doubt, just kind of dragged down by things and kind of negative in my talk. And just realizing, man, where was that faith that I had 10 years ago? Where was that life that I experienced 10 years ago, where I was saying, my God's going to work it out. He's going to make a way, and he's going to work in me to accomplish his purposes. And man, I had this wonderful, robust faith. And as time has gone by, I just kind of get the sense that like gravity is just dragging me down. Like over time, I've just been filled with more of a negative outlook on things and more of a pessimistic look on things. And I was realizing I need to flip that script. I need to change the way that I'm thinking and bring encouragement to myself. And so I want to encourage you. You know, those things that you've spoken over yourself in the past, bring those things back. I'm going to invite our band to come as we close this morning. We're going to sing a song together along this theme. But I wanted to say one last thing. As we are mindful of so much of the negative things that we come across, I want to encourage you to take the positive things, whether it's a memory, whether it's a journal entry, whether it's a note of encouragement that somebody has given to you, a song that really speaks to you, and document those things. A couple of years ago, had written Corbett. I've done a few since as well, but a couple of years ago, I wrote him a note just encouraging him and thanking him for who he is in our church community. And I added some specific details. Hey, you're a rock. You know, you are a foundational person here, and you, God has really used you in a number of different ways to encourage me and help me stay strong in the Lord. And I remember not too long ago walking into his office and seeing that card there after, I think it had been a year since I had written him that note, and he had kept it there. He kept it there on his board in front of him, and he said it was something that he read from time to time just to build him up, right? Just to encourage him in the moment that he needed it. And I was thinking to myself, man, what a powerful reminder for us. If you have something that has encouraged you, whether it's a note, whether it's a song, whether it's a text, whether it's a voicemail, you know, whatever it might be, an email, keep that, document that, return to that again and again, and especially in those darkest moments, those times when you're discouraged, be reminded of those things that people have spoken over you. And even as we're reminded of those things, let's be motivated. As we go through the highways and the byways, through the hallways of life, that we would be those sources of encouragement to those around us, that we would speak life, and that we would inspire courage in the hearts and the lives of people that we love. God has placed us here to do that for one another. Let's stand as we sing this song together.